And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. So glad you're with me today. As my friend, I feel like each one of you are right here in the studio with me. I'd like to hug your neck, shake your hand if I could, but I guess, I don't know, the way they're proceeding with technology today, with everything from the iPhones to the three-dimension 3D TVs and all that, sometimes you feel like you just reach out. As that old commercial, you'd say, reach out and touch someone, right? I feel like I can do that with you, especially because so many of you written me over the years. You've called up the ministry. You've ordered things, and we sort of have similar hearts. We believe in God. We believe in country. We believe in doing what's right. I like that. I like people like that. You're my kind of folks. And, you know, you just feel at home. And I hope you feel at home here on Power of Prophecy. Well, today it's Secrets. Jerry Barrett, he's my broadcast engineer. What volume we have here? 196? 196. Okay. Well, we've got a lot of things. You probably received my recent newsletter entitled Mormonism Exposed as a Crime Factory. Oh, I'm getting some hot stuff from that. Hot responses. I'll talk about that. I want to talk about the number 666 and its relationship to Wall Street. Could there be a relation? Oh, no, surely not. Well, maybe. Then there's this book, The Harbinger, that's a big New York Times bestseller, written by a so-called Messianic Christian Jew, Jonathan Kahn. I'll talk about that just a little bit. California, of course, has passed a resolution and of its legislature, which says that if you criticize Israel, you're an anti-Semite. So I probably, if you've ever criticized Israel, folks, then you're just a big old bigot and anti-Semite, according to the California legislature. I wonder who's in charge there. Well, okay, let's see what else we got to talk about. Oh, here's a wonderful poem somebody sent me. I like that. I might talk about that. I've been studying a little bit about the spy trade. In fact, I might start off with that today, the spy trade. We'll also talk about the real kosher Jesus, a new book by another Christian Messianic Jew, Dr. Michael Brown, the real kosher Jesus. Oh, sure, there is one, huh? Well, we'll find out about that. And it seems as if the federal government is giving out these student grants and loans like crazy. But why is it that Jewish schools are getting more than any other kind? We'll discuss that, as well. Okay. And then it appears that Mossad agents are just everywhere in America. And then we get back to Mormons. There are people out there who tell me I'm wrong about the Mormons and that they're a wonderful Christian group and they're wholesome and all this stuff. Well, about all, in appearance, sometimes they are. I think some people like the Mormons because, well, they seem to be mostly white. And since we're having, I don't have a prejudiced bone in my body, but it does seem that black people do, and many Hispanic people seem to be prejudiced these days, biased. And they're all out to get the white people and to oppress and suppress the white folks. And you know that's true. And they're all biased, many of them, not all blacks, not all Hispanics. But, look at this last election. 78% of all the Hispanics voted for Obama. Now, I'm listening to all these crazy Republican talking heads on television, and they're saying, well, in the next election, we're going to have to cater, we're going to have to pander to the Hispanic vote, Republicans. Now, I'm neither Republican or Democrat. I'm just telling you what the Republicans are saying. I was listening on Fox News, the O'Reilly factor, to Charles Krauthammer. He's a Jew, and He was saying, yeah, we're going to have to cater to them. He didn't use that word, but that's what he was saying. We're going to have to take into account. And he basically said, we're going to have to give them all amnesty. And if we give, you know, all these illegal immigrants that are Hispanic amnesty, why, they'll vote for the Republicans. Are you kidding me? You mean give all these illegal aliens amnesty and they'll vote for the Republicans? No, let me explain it to you, Mr. Krauthammer and Bill O'Reilly. The reason the Hispanics voted 78% for Obama was free stuff. They get free stuff. They get Medicaid and it pays for all their medical bills. All their kids get free school lunches. They get free telephones. That's right. They get food stamps. They get housing subsidies. I mean, the list of free goodies goes on and on. That's why they come over to America, you know, in addition to jobs. They get all the freebies. So if the Republicans say, we're going to give you citizenship, I think that the average Mexican alien will say, that's nice, but we were over here anyway, and nobody's going to deport us. Nobody's deporting Mexicans. So we're over here anyway. Thank you for your amnesty. We'll take it. And we'll, of course, keep our Mexican citizenship, too. We'll be dual citizens. Meanwhile, you Republicans are going to, we're going to have a little auction here. Are you prepared to give us as many free goodies as the Democrats? Well, you know, you can't compete with the Democrats. They're willing to give away the whole house. So this idea you can give Mexican illegal aliens amnesty, make them give this pathway to citizenship, as they call it, which means just, you know, get a rubber stamp and might as well stamp on all their foreheads, citizen, 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 you know, government-approved beef, right? Stamp it on them. But they still want the freebies and the goodies. That's why they're here. So you have to give that to them, too. That means, basically, Republicans will have to become Democrats and give stuff free stuff. Well, I guess that's what Krauthammer wants, really. After all, there's not really two political parties anyway. There's not a dime's worth of difference between the two. So I do expect... Listen, it would not surprise me if Senator Rubio, the Cuban-American Hispanic down in Florida, is chosen to be the next nominee of the Republican Party. Boy, we're going to get some Hispanic votes now. We got a Cuban-American Hispanic as our political nominee. That's what they'll do. And they'll probably make a black as his vice president, Condi Rice or something like that. We'll get black people by having Condi Rice. And we'll get the Mexicans by having Rubio. That's what these dunderheads, the Republicans, will say. But guess what? The blacks will say, well, that's nice. You're going to have a vice president who's black. But, hey, the Democrats gave us a president, not a vice president. In any case, no matter who you nominate for president, what are we going to get? We want the freebies. We want the goodies. We want more and more. We want more than the Democrats are giving us. Can you Republicans pitch in? How much are you going to give? What's your bid for our vote? And I expect the Republicans will get down on their knees and grovel and stick their head and their nose in the sand and grovel in that and say, please vote for us. Look what we've done. We've made Rubio the presidential candidate. Condi Rice, our vice president. And she's black. Surely you'll vote for us. And they'll say, no, we want the freebies. And I expect the Republicans will give them the freebies. And thus will end the myth that we've had all these decades and of two political parties that vary, that are different. They're not different at all. Never have been different. They're the same. They're both warmongers, big taxers, big pro-immigration, illegal immigration, that is. On and on and on, there's no difference, and you and I know it. Okay? So I just thought we'd bring that up, the silliness of these people. By the way, Krauthammer is, of course, a Jewish neocon. And all the Jewish organizations, the ADL, AIPAC, and all of them, and all the Jewish lobby groups and, of course, the politicians, they're all in favor of illegal immigration, just swamping America with millions and millions of illegals. They say, we need cultural diversity. Yes, we need diversity. America wants to welcome in people of all races and colors and creeds and languages, be a big polyglot nation. It's wonderful. But have you noticed that the Jews in Israel don't allow anybody but Jews to immigrate there? You can go there and work as one of their slaves, but you can't become a citizen. You cannot own property unless you have the right kind of bloodline. They want us to accept Pakistanis, Indians, Chinese, Mexicans, Uruguayans, Canadians, Africans, all of them into America. And they call us bigots and racists if white people, for example, complain. But why is it that in Israel they accept only Jews? That's their law. In fact, they built up a great apartheid fence to keep out the Palestinians. First, they steal the Palestinians' land, and then they build a great big fence around it and say, Palestinians, stay out of the land that we stole. Everybody's talking about a two-state solution. Let the Palestinians have their country, let the Jews have their nation state. Why should we do that? Why should the Jews have their own nation? They won't allow the Christians to have a nation. If any politician in America is audacious enough to say America is a Christian nation, well, they're going to get lashed at. They're going to have the monkey of the ADL and the APAC, APAC, that's American Israel Public Affairs Committee, lobby group, on their back. This is not a Christian nation, Abraham Foxman will say. The Southern Poverty Law Center will say, how dare you? You call this a Christian nation. We'll have you know we're an Islam, Hindu, Buddhist, Jewish, Christian nation. We're all together in this great endeavor. I was listening to some Mexican guy. No, wait, come think he was Puerto Rican. I'm sorry, Puerto Rican. John Leguizamo. Yeah, he's an actor, supposedly a comedian or whatever. And he was criticizing conservatives. He said, you know, the conservatives, they're all angry because the Hispanics and the blacks won this election for Obama. Hey, he said, get over it, you white people. After all, we, get this now, listen to this. We Latinos, says John Leguizamo. John Leguizamo says, after all, it is we Latinos who built this nation. From the very beginnings, the foundations of America, we Latins were over here and we built this nation. You know, I did not know that George Washington's real name was Jorge Marquez, or Thomas Jefferson was really Tomas Rojas. Or, you know, I would have sworn that they had very few Hispanics in the 13 original colonies. I know there were a lot of Germans. There were some Irish, Scots, mostly English. And we had Native American Indians. We had a lot of Frenchmen. But we didn't even, you know, we had very few black people. But the Latinos built America from its foundations? I had no idea. This is new history. I'm learning, you know, I guess, I mean, I graduated with a summa cum laude at the university. Then I went on to get a graduate degree. And since then, I mean, I must have read thousands of books and studied them. History books, political science textbooks. I had no idea that from the very beginning the Latinos were here, and it's they who built America. Now look, folks, every person who is Latino and is a solid, loyal American citizen, I say praise God. But let's get history straight. Okay? Let's get history straight. Maybe Latinos built Mexico and Puerto Rico and so forth, but they didn't build America. I'm sure there have always been some Latinos in a Puerto. I know here in Texas, there were Mexican Texans. Yes, Mexicans who fought Santa Ana and fought for freedom here in Texas and died at the Alamo. Now I know there's some Anglo American white people say, oh, no. They were all white. Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, you know, Sam, not Sam Houston, he didn't die there, but Crockett and Bowie and Travis, all the ones that died at the Alamo fighting Santa Ana and the Mexicans, they were all whites. No, they weren't. There were some Mexicans there. I mean, after all, Texas belonged to Mexico at the time, and they broke away and had their independence. There was a war, and there were the Mexicans, many of them living here, sided with the Anglos. They fought side by side, Mexican Texans and Anglo Texans fought side by side. Little unknown fact of history. I say good for them. Okay. Good for them. Oh my goodness. You know, there's no doubt that many Latinos have done great things. I remember when I went in the Air Force, civilian civil service secretary we had was a Mexican lady. Boy, was she ever sharp. Down in San Antonio at Lackland Air Force Base, she was sharp as a firecracker. She knew everything going on. You know, you just go to her and she'd tell you everything. She'd get it from the file. She'd worked there about 20 years. No doubt she was of great service to the United States Air Force. Mexican-American, born in America. I don't think she had one thought of Mexico. All she could think about was United States and Texas. Name was Estrada, last name Estrada. Good for her. Okay. You know, the last I heard of the Bible, but I know it's going to change in the new versions, God was not a racist either. And that is a secret. We're talking about secrets today. Volume 1. This is a big secret, evidently, to everybody, but God is not a racist. He doesn't favor the Jews as a superior race, nor any of the Gentile races. He said in the Gospel of Mark, he said, go ye into all nations. Now, some people say we shouldn't go to Israel and preach Jesus. They have their own covenant. They don't need Jesus. That's what John Hagee says. Jesus is not the Messiah of the Jews. That's what a lot of Christian Zionists say today. Boy, are they ever confused and messed up. Go ye and do all the nations. Did say, except Israel. Don't go there. Don't bother with them. And remember Peter? They brought him in. This is after Jesus died and was resurrected. Jesus, one of the apostles, was preaching right there in Jerusalem. He was going around preaching this Jesus. Well, the high priest had him brought in and said, and beat him. They actually had him beaten. And they gave him instructions, says, do not preach this Jesus anymore. And he said, I must obey God and not man. What was he telling them? If God tells me to preach Jesus, I will preach Jesus. And you know, he did. Of course, Peter later was killed. History says, I'm not sure it's completely accurate in that case, we know that he died. We know that he was put to death for preaching Jesus, but he did it anyway, even at the risk of his life. It is said by some that Peter said, I'm not worthy to be crucified exactly like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. So it is claimed, and maybe it's true, that they literally nailed him to a cross upside down. Wow. You might want to read Fox's Book of Martyrs, people who were told not to preach Jesus, not to teach the blood, not to teach faith, salvation through faith and not of works. People who simply said, I want to read the Bible for myself. And the Catholic Church said, no, you cannot do that. Only the priests can properly interpret. Only they know the mysteries of the Bible. You common folks cannot read the Bible for yourselves. And these men and women said, no, we will read the Bible for ourselves. We will translate it into our language. We will read it. And they were burned at the stake. Such was the fate of those who truly believed in Jesus. Now, Mormonism, is it really a crime factory? Got a really nice letter from a Christian lady. I'm not going to tell you her name. I don't want her to get any negative feedback. She says, Dear Mr. Morris, I am in receipt of your newsletter, which was forwarded to me by a friend. Your feature article declared Mormonism is exposed as a crime factory. Having been born in Salt Lake City, Utah, as a Lutheran, I agree with everything in your article. My experience began in the early 1950s, but I doubt that much has changed since then. As Lutherans, we were discriminated against repeatedly and in the most outrageous manner. The Mormon community made certain that we could not ignore their actions, nor would we ever be welcome as members of their church. We did not want to be. Since I did not understand their prejudice, I began to study the Book of Mormon and their religious dogma. I soon began to see what was the hypocrisy of the Mormon church. Let's go beyond the polygamy lies and manipulation. The Mormon church is centered around the so-called angel Moroni. This angel is anything but, as I learned. Anytime the Mormons came under public criticism, suddenly the angel Moroni would appear. And, for example, the formerly banned blacks could suddenly now join the church. Women were banned as church officials, but guess what? Here comes Moroni again, and women were suddenly accepted in an attempt to gain public approval. Mormonism, she writes, is a pagan Judaic cult of Masonic origin. Interesting. So she goes on to talk about the Danites, this Mormon assassination squads, and on and on and on. You know, a lot of people said to me, Tex Brigham Young, he was a great saint of God. And you say he was a mass murderer that sent out these assassination squads. And at one time, during this Mountain Meadows massacre, they massacred all of these men, women, and children. Surely that didn't happen under the Mormon leadership in Utah of Brigham Young. Well, let me read to you from Mormon authorities themselves. Listen to what they quote Brigham Young as saying. Quote, if any miserable scoundrels come here, cut their throats. A nice guy, wouldn't he? Cut their throats. Wow. You know, I have all of these Mormon publications, and they admit that they did get, you know, one of the leaders under of Mormonism under Brigham Young was a man named Captain John D. Lee, L-E-E. He admitted his part in the massacre, and he was executed by the U.S. Army in 1877. But the fact is that Brigham Young led a cover-up. And Lee did this because he was told, you know, that he would get all the fruits and rewards in heaven as a god. After all, the Mormons believe that they are budding gods. You know, I have here at least three Mormon scholars who have thoroughly researched this shameful event, this massacre at Mountain Meadows in Utah. And they produced very detailed, very truthful accounts. Dr. Robert Riboney, professor of history in the Humanities University of Illinois, Chicago, he studied it. He says it's absolutely a fact. It's one of the most atrocious mass murders in the history of America. And Brigham Young got away with it. See, you know, everybody would cover up, keep their mouths shut. Just as if, you know, the same thing with polygamy. Brigham Young, because the United States government demanded it, put out a new rule and said, okay, we will no longer have polygamy. You know, marrying multiple women. One man and 5, 6, 10, 30, whatever it was, women. But he kept all his wives. They just did it, informally. They still do that today, many Mormons. They have more than one wife. They marry one, the first one, officially. Then the others, you know, in Christian terminology, we would call it shacking up. But, you know, they get, you know, have their little religious mumbo-jumbo ceremonies and all that. And so, hey, I'll tell you about the Wall Street and the number 666. Did you know that on March the 6th, 2009, I want you to get that date in your mind, on March the 6th, 2009, the stock market that prior to that time, you know, had gone up as high as 14,000 on the Dow Jones average. On that date, hit a new low. And the S&P 500 is a new measure, sort of like the Dow Jones average, that people use to figure out what the stock market is doing. Get this, folks. On March 6, 2009, the stock market hit a low, which turned out to be the low, because after that it began to go up. And today, it's around, I think today the S&P 500 average was, I think, 1,450. But on March the 6th, 2009, it hit a low of, get this, 666. That was the low of the Great Recession that had begun in late 2007, 2008. In 2009, stock market kept falling, falling, falling. And then when it hit exactly 666, that was the low, and it began to come up from there. Do you think that might have been planned? Uh-huh. 666. I think it was done on purpose. The Illuminati, the Wall Street Jews did it. This is a ritual number to them. And think of the date, March, the third month of the year. On the sixth day, three sixes. On March the 6th, the stock market, the S&P 500 hit 666 on its averages. March the 6th, the third month, the sixth day, three sixes. And then the year, 2009. Now, folks, the occult numerologist and the Jewish Gematria, that's the folks that believe in this magical number system of the Jews, worked out by the Jewish Kabbalist. They would multiply the 2 times the 9. They come up with 18. 18 is derived from 6 plus 6 plus 6. 18. So 2 times 9, 2009, equals 666. And of course, there is another occult number that's important, the number 11. 2 plus 9 equals 11. So you can also add it and come up with yet another occult ritual number. Isn't that interesting? It's pretty interesting. That day's trading had to be controlled, very much controlled. It wasn't just a number that suddenly, bing, the computer, just as the stock market bell rang, and things ended for that day, hit 666. It was not unintentional. It was not inadvertent. It was planned. Can you believe, if they can do this, remember there are thousands of stocks on the stock market. There's 500 that are counted for the S&P 500. Wow. Amazing. Tell you something else that's been planned. It's the demolishing, the destruction of true biblical Christianity. Jim Baker, the old PTL homosexual dude, remember him, PTL Club? Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, he's still around. He has a TV program, has a church. His son is a great big hippie, and he's got a hippie church that Jim Baker's son is a pastor of. Well, recently on his TV show, Jim Baker had on a man named Jonathan Cahn, a Jew, C-A-H-N. And when we come back, I'll tell you about Jonathan Cahn and good old Jim Baker, homosexual, ex-convict, Pentecostal preacher. Be right back. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Well, Tex Mars back again. You know, I want to encourage you to get a brand new book that we're offering here in the ministry. It's entitled Bloody Zion. Bloody Zion. It's by Edward Hendry. a well-known attorney who graduated from the University of Notre Dame and from a Jesuit law school. Yes, he was raised as a Roman Catholic, but he came to know Jesus Christ, became a born-again Christian, and left the Vatican and the Catholic Church. You'll remember that he exposed the Vatican and its connections with the Jewish faith, Judaism, in his outstanding book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. Well, we have that book offered for you, my friends, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. It is $25. If you want to buy it, just add $5 for shipping and handling. Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great by Edward Henry. But he has a new book, 544 pages long. It's called Bloody Zion. You'll find that these satanic Zionist Jews are responsible for assassinations, for world wars, for genocidal events, and they've been doing these things for centuries and getting away with it. Would you believe that in the medieval period, and some say it's still happening today, young Gentile children were abducted by Jewish believers and rabbis? They were sacrificed to their Kabbalistic gods, and their blood was drained and used in rituals. Yes, the Jews actually drank the blood of abducted and murdered Gentile children. You say, Tex, that is a myth. Only an anti-Semite would make up such a story. Let me tell you where the story came from. It is true history. One of the world's greatest historians, who in fact is a Jewish rabbi, Arno Toav, a professor in Rome, Italy, and a Jew. His father, by the way, Arno Toav's father, is the chief rabbi at the largest Jewish synagogue in the city of Rome. And Toav did all this research and discovered. He went back to the court transcripts because some Jews were arrested for these abductions and murders and found guilty by juries back in Russia and in Europe at that time. And Arno Toav wanted to disprove these legends, as he called it, these myths. But when he went back and studied the history, he found they were true. And Arno Toav wrote an entire book explaining why it was true that Gentile children had been taken captive. And during high holy days of the Jews, they were sacrificed. And they were hung upside down. Their throats were slit. The blood was collected in goblets. And they would put it in matzo balls and other Jewish dainties that were eaten during these festivals. And the Jews believed that they were acquiring occult energies into their bodies from their serpent god, Leviathan. You say, Tex, surely you don't believe that's true. Well, historian Professor Arno Toav, who was a Jew, said it was true. By the way, he received such pressure and so many threats from Israel and the Jews that Arno Toav was forced to take his book off the market a few years ago. So this was a new book that came out just recently. We're not talking about an ancient historical study, but a very recent one. All of this is covered in the book Bloody Zion. Now, Edward Henry says in his book that if we don't understand who really is responsible for World War I, World War II, for what's happening in Palestine today in the Middle East, if we don't know about the Illuminati and who was behind the Illuminati and the French Revolution and so many wars and genocidal events, if we don't understand the fact that it was the Jewish monsters who were the communists, Lenin, Trotsky, Kaganovich, and the others, who brought forth a grand total of 66 million victims in the Soviet Union from 1917 to 1986. If we don't realize who did these terrible crimes, then we have a very dim future ahead of us, friends. Bloody Zion, $28. Again, it's 544 pages by Edward Hendry. He's an attorney. He knows what evidence is. This book is filled with hundreds of footnotes and references, documentation. There's never been a book like Bloody Zion. $28. Please add $5 shipping and handling. $33 for the book Bloody Zion by Edward Hendry. That's H-E-N-D-R-I-E. Just ask for the book Bloody Zion. Bloody Zion. Please order this book. Of vital importance that you have it. You'll want to order several copies of this book and give some out to your friends. Bloody Zion by Edward Hendry. 544 pages, $28 plus $5 shipping and handling, $33. Here's how to get Bloody Zion. Bonus, toll free, 1-800-234-9673 in the United States and Canada. 1-800-234-9673. You can also go to our website, 24/7. That would be powerofprophecy.com. And by the way, if you haven't accessed a second sister website we have called conspiracyworld.com, you're missing out. A lot of news, a lot of facts, and please go to conspiracyworld.com. I think you'll enjoy that. But we all also have a lot of things, free videos, free newsletter, articles, and all kinds of things on our website, powerofprophecy.com. All right? Please, you can order all of our books and tapes and videos, including today's audio tape or CD, specify which one you want, for $8 plus $5 shipping and handling of the program today, Secrets, Volume 196. And if you do order this audio tape or CD, specify which one of the two you want, that's audio tape or CD, and ask for Secrets, Volume 196. Now let's return to our regular program. Oh, that's right. Jerry's reminding me you can send in a check or money order to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And when you write us or when you go online, if you can, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, would you help us with our finances, with our expenses? We really need your help. So if you can tuck in $5 or $10 extra, or even a $20 bill, we would appreciate it so much. If you can give more, wonderful. We have our staff. We have to keep paying our staff here. And who knows what's going to happen to us. You know, we're not tax exempt. We don't want to be beholden to the government. We pay our taxes like everybody else. And now I don't know what's going to happen on this Obamacare. So many costs are going up. The postal people recently raised their rates again for us on packages and such. We're trying to hold the line, but it's very, very tough. And we keep seemingly losing money on the sale of our books and tapes and videos, publishing our newsletter. You know, we don't charge for that. And we don't charge access for you to go on our website either. It's absolutely free. But we do need your help, and we so much appreciate it. And I know that God will bless you for helping this truth-telling ministry, Power of Prophecy. And Tex Morris. Now let's return to our regular program. Talking to you about Jonathan Cahn. He has this book that's a little bit poppycock, a lot of nonsense, and some truth mixed in, called The Harbinger. It purports, claims to be a prophecy book. It's written by Jonathan Cahn. Jonathan Cahn is a very mysterious person who started a supposed Christian church, Messianic congregation, as they call them, made up mostly of Jews, but also deceived and confused Christian Gentiles up in New Jersey. Now, Jonathan says this man, another mysterious person, apparently, gave him the money to start this church. I wonder. Jonathan Cahn has the regular Jewish beard, and he looks like he's right out of, you know, just walked off the reservation in Jerusalem. And he calls himself rabbi. They love to call themselves rabbi. Regardless of the fact that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, specifically told his disciples, he said, and the Jews, he said to them, don't allow anyone to call you rabbi. Because rabbi means master. So this Jonathan Cahn, like all of these fakes, wants to be called master. He's, you know, he's considered a Jewish guru then, isn't he? A master. That's what they call in the New Age movement, the Hindu gurus and everything, master. Jesus said there's only one master, God in heaven. And if you belong to God, if you're his child, you're a servant of his. We are. We do. We serve God, folks. You're not master. Jesus says don't allow anyone to call you rabbi. And you don't call anybody except your God in heaven father either. Now, I'm not going to call a Catholic priest father. He's not the father in heaven. And as far as the Pope being the Holy Father, give me a break. He's not the Holy Father. He's not Il Papa, as they call him in Italy. Oh, boy. They love these long titles. Jesus said, that's what the Jews love. They love these fancy titles after their name. You know, I've been invited many times to come to this school or that school and get an honorary doctorate. What for? Well, you know, there's Dr. Paul Crouch and Dr. Billy Graham and Dr. Jerry Falwell and Dr. Every one of them love to be called doctor. None of them really have earned anything. They don't have the education I do from the universities I do. I mean, I've taught at the University of Texas and at Golden Gate University, at Park University. I have an advanced degree from North Carolina State, only known. But do I go around saying, call me doctor? Yes, I insist. Or call me Rabbi Tex. Or Master Mars. Or Father Tex. When I meet you at a prophecy conference, or if I walk in a cafeteria and you recognize me, come up and shake my hand. Please just say, hi, Tex. I'm so-and-so from Poughkeepsie, New York, or Toledo, Ohio. How are you, Tex? I like that. I like being Tex. If you call me Father, I will correct you. I'll be nice. If you call me Rabbi, I will correct you. I'll be nice, but don't do that. But these people, they love. I understand he, in his sermon, sometimes he quotes the Talmud of the Kabbalah. If that's true, that just shows you what he is. He's a fake. But interestingly enough, he was on the Jim Baker, the old PTL show. Jim Baker TV show. He was hawking his book, pushing his book. By the way, his publisher is the magazine Charisma. You know, the full gospel, so-called tongue-speaking, charismatic magazine. They're the ones that push Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Paul Crouch, and all the other fakers. Oral Roberts and the whole bit. Charisma magazine, the charismatics. Listen, this was April the 30th, 2012. Jonathan Kahn, that's C-A-H-N, Rabbi Kahn, let me clear my throat, was on the Jim Baker show. And Baker, you know, kept calling him Rabbi, I understand. Evidently, they knew each other before the program. As it turns out, Kahn told the heretical Jim Baker, who's, by the way, a flaming homosexual, very few people know that. Kahn, here's what he told him. He told Baker, quote, well, Jim, you are humble, and you gave me such great advice as mentoring and all these things, and I greatly, greatly appreciate it, and it's an honor for me to be here. I'm totally blessed. So he said that Jim Baker has been giving him advice. He's his mentor. Yeah, well, okay. Enough of that. Hey, let's go to California, where they passed a resolution in the legislature. Says that if you criticize Israel and its foreign policy or anything about Israel, you're an anti-Semite. Wow. Language or behavior that demonizes or delegitimizes Israel. If you're a speaker and you show a film or have an exhibit that indicates that Israel is guilty of crimes against humanity, such as ethnic cleansing and genocide, you're an anti-Semite. If you describe Israel as a racist or apartheid state, as they really are, of course, you're an anti-Semite. Now, if you do this, if you say bad things about Finland or Norway or Sweden or the United States, your home country, or Mexico or Canada, it's okay. 175 countries in the world, bash all you want. Blast them to smithereens. But just don't say one bad word about Israel, or you will be an anti-Semite. Hey, I saw a little plaque the other day, and we bought some of them. We had, and it turned out, Wanda says we had some already. And I remembered we had got some of these little plaques. We were giving them to a couple of friends of ours. And I like it. Here, it has a picture of a dog on it. And the caption reads on this wooden plaque, "Lord, please let me be the man," or woman, if it's a woman, "please let me be the man that my dog thinks I am." As a picture of a little doggy, "Lord, please let me be the man that my dog thinks I am." You know, that's pretty good. Juan and I got us a new dog. You know, we lost our beloved Daisy. Got us a new little dog. It's a rat terrier. Now, I never knew anything about rat terriers, but I understand one of them killed like thousands of rats in just one day in England and broke the world's record. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records. That's why they call them rat terriers. They're little dogs, though. I call him Peanut. But Wanda, you know, she likes to be elegant. She says, "No, I want to give him the name Princess." Or it's her. Excuse me. I call all dogs him. That's my problem. See, right away, I got a problem. All pets are hims. Oh, I'm a male chauvinist. Anyway, Wanda says, "We can't call this little doggy, this rat terrier. It's so cute. Look at it. Look at its little ears and its little face and its, you know." I said, "Well, I think it's cute. Look at those little paws and its markings. Little black, little tan around its eyes and little black markings on white. Just so cute." She said, "Let's call it Princess." I said, "I think it looks like a peanut. Let's call it Miss Peanut." "Oh, Dex, how could you?" You know, she likes to be elegant. You know, she wants to, you know how women are. Jerry wants to be fancy. Princess. In fact, she suggested actually calling her Princess Margaret. Princess Margaret, that's some kind of English name. No, I didn't want to do that. Let's call her Peanut. Wanda wouldn't put up with it. So now I have to go around calling this poor little dog Princess. Now think of a masculine man like me. I'm taking the dog out for a walk and somebody comes up and says, "Oh, what's the name of your dog, Dex?" "Princess." Ooh. Ooh. You know, they do their wrist like, you know, Michael Jackson. Embarrass me. Wanda's embarrassing me by calling our dog Princess. And our cat, Michelle, who's our business manager here at the ministry, she and, I don't know, the girls, I think, got together and they named this cat Prissy. Prissy. So now I'm forced to call my cat Prissy, the ministry cat. I do love the cat. It's a sweet, sweet cat. Every time I come into the office, you know, it jumps on my table and it wants me to feed it some treats. And I do. I make it beg, you know, put its little paw down and reach for him, you know. I mean, come on, let's put it to work. The cat, but I love that cat, I have to admit. Of course, the cat and the dog hate each other and I have to keep them apart. The cat runs under and hides somewhere when Princess comes in. So now I've got Prissy and Princess. Jerry, I am totally humiliated as a man. You're really a manly guy. Football referee and all that. Wouldn't you be? What's the name of your horse? You got a horse. You and your wife. This, folks, is Texas. You got a horse and his name is Ed. There you go. Now that's Texas. That's masculine. Ed. Now you got a dog though. What's his name? Toby. Toby. And Keith. Toby. Toby and Keith. Is that the name of a country? Toby and Keith. Jerry's got, he and Leslie have two dogs, Toby and Keith. Well, now this is not fair. Jerry's got Toby and Keith dogs and Ed is the name of their horse. And I'm stuck with Prissy and Princess. Boy, this is embarrassing. I shouldn't even have mentioned this on radio. Now all my friends out in radio land know about this. Well, anyway, I told you that I was going to tell you about the government's grants for universities and for scholarships for young people in college. They're called Pell Grants, P-E-L-L, after Senator Claiborne Pell, who came up with the idea and had the bill. It seems that according to this news item I've got, that Jewish religious colleges get more money than anybody. Each year, tens of millions of dollars in federal Pell Grants go to Jewish yeshivas. That's religious academies. They're sort of like seminaries, right? Bible schools. Which, listen, this is from Forward, the Jewish publication. It says these yeshivas focus primarily on Talmud study. That's their, you know, the Jewish rabbis think the Talmud is greater than the Old Testament. A review of the U.S. Department of Education data reveals that Jewish colleges, these yeshivas, these religious schools, get more money than anybody. These Jewish schools collectively received 53% of the $85 million in grant money that went to religious schools in 1 year. Think about that. Of the top 10 colleges that got money from the federal government, six of them were Jewish yeshivas. Now, 53% of all the money for these Pell Grants goes to Jewish institutions. But the Jews make up only 2.5% of the American population. Why do they get 53% of the money? Folks, you know, don't you? You understand this. They run our government. Meanwhile, now they're trying to take Jesus and make him into some Judaism freak. Dr. Michael Brown, who's another one of these that calls himself Christian but is Jewish, he wrote a book several years back called Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, saying that the Christian church is responsible for the Holocaust and all of these pogroms against Jews. Nonsense, Brown. Come on. Now he's got a book out called The Real Kosher Jesus. Read the New Testament. Read the Gospels of John and Mark and Luke and Matthew. Brown, you call yourself a Christian. Don't you know that Jesus said to the Jews, all this stuff about kosher foods, he said that this is man-made doctrines, man-made commandments, not of God. Brown writes about Yeshua, he calls him. He says, the real kosher Jesus, my book, takes you on a journey to uncover the truth. You will learn the real story of this man named Yeshua, the most famous Jew of all time, the most illustrious rabbi ever, the Messiah of Israel and the world. Well, he is Messiah of Israel and the world. And he is the light of the nations. But he's not kosher. Kosher is when they kill a cow a certain way. It's really sort of torture. Is that what you mean? The way they killed a cow? Well, you know, the Jews crucified our Lord Jesus. They killed Jesus. You probably don't believe that, Brown. But it's the Jews' hands that are stained with blood. Read the book Bloody Zion by Edward Henry. Maybe I should send this Dr. Michael Brown. That makes me mad. The real kosher Jesus. Listen, the Talmud that brings us all this kosher nonsense junk, all these rules, 613 rules. That's what the Hebrews try to, or the Jews try to obey. And they can't. They fail. If you just have faith in Jesus alone, that's all that counts. But they reject Jesus. Jesus is an illegitimate bastard, they say, in their Jewish Talmud, and on and on. Absolutely sickening. Just sickening. Well, the IRS said right before the election, they made an official statement. They said that churches can speak out on political issues and candidates without losing their tax exempt status. That's what the IRS said. Now, a group calling itself Liberty Council, a good group, you know, very conservative, pro-Christian, put out a statement, said, pastors, you can speak out now. The IRS says so. I'll tell you, folks, pastors, watch it. Until they change the law under the code IRS 501c3, if you speak out, you're just going to be like the mole that sticks his head out of the hole in the earth, and somebody's waiting with a baseball bat for him. The IRS will be waiting for you as a mole to stick your head out and make these statements, which should be free speech, freedom of religion, and they will bang you over the head with them. I know they tried to do it to Tex Mars and this ministry. They will. They have every right to, because it's an unconstitutional law that's been passed by Congress during the era of Lyndon B. Johnson, who was a Christ hater an adulterer and philanderer, and conspired with others to kill President John F. Kennedy. Even Jackie Kennedy, finally in a TV interview that was finally released after all, what has it been since 63? Been 40, 50, half a century. We now know what Jackie Kennedy believed, that her husband, John F. Kennedy, was killed November 22, 1963, as a result of a conspiracy. And who was involved in it? Lyndon B. Johnson, the vice president. Wow. What a bombshell. That's what Jackie Kennedy said. We just 50 years they kept that video locked up in the vault. Now the IRS says, you know, we're going to be really nice to you churches. Well, one of the problems is that hundreds of black churches all campaigned for Obama. So what could they say about a few brave Christian churches that, you know, promoted Romney and the Republicans? Nothing. But you just watch. You just watch. You speak out on issues like homosexuality, gay marriage, abortion, the IRS may be on your head in the future. Hey, Henry Waxman won his 19th consecutive term in Congress. Henry Waxman. He's the Republican, the Democrat from Beverly Hills. Yeah, he's the Beverly Hills congressman. I know about this dude, Henry Waxman. He's the guy that has a direct line to the IRS. See, the IRS commissioner is Bud Shulman, a Jew. And when Henry Waxman or any other God-hating congressman, especially the Jewish congressman, when they don't like somebody, they get the IRS to audit them. Henry Waxman turns them in to the IRS. So all the congressmen run down to Henry Waxman's office and say, would you have this person investigated? Would you do? So Henry Waxman gets the job. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. Henry Waxman, the big tattletale that gets people audited. He's back in Congress again. Hey, folks, we're about, how much more time we got, Jerry? 5 seconds? No seconds? Oh, 30 seconds. I wanted to talk about General Petraeus, General Allen, and all the others. Israeli Mossad involved in that up to their necks. Oh, yes, those women. Paula Broadwell, her real name was Franz, F-R-A-N-Z. Her father's a Jew, she's Jewish. Jill Kelly, strange connections there, too, the gal down near MacDill Air Force Base. That was, let's just say, splitting the sheets, if you know what I mean, folks. The Israeli Mossad had their neck in it. They got rid of Petraeus. They got rid of Allen, and they've gotten rid of other generals that opposed the Zionist wars in the Middle East. There's a war going on, a secret war. It's in the Pentagon, in the military. They're getting rid of people that they don't like. The Jews run America, and they're getting rid of anybody that opposes them. They're preparing for World War III, and they don't want any opposition. Obama, if you don't kiss up to them, they'll get rid of you too, one way or another. Look for it, folks. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've had a volume of Secrets, volume 196. Been great being with you today. Hope you'll write to me and tell me what you think about our program. Let me know if you're praying for us. I really covet your prayers. Appreciate your prayers so much. They keep us alive, keep us encouraged, inspired, and tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.